This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer's there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
At Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, the 2012s are driving off the lot. With over 40 new Chevrolets sold in September, the selection is getting thin. Take the 2012 Corvette Grand Sport, stock number C385, or the 2012 four-wheel drive extended cab Silverado, stock number C343. Get the one you want at a great Smokey Jennings discount. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946.
On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended at 845 and a quarter, up a quarter. March wheat ended at 859 and three quarter, down three quarter. May wheat ended at 866, down a quarter. December corn yesterday ended at 741, down two and a quarter. March corn ended at 745 and a quarter, down two. May corn ended at 742, down a penny. January soybeans yesterday ended at 1408 and a quarter, down four and a half. March beans ended at 1393 and three quarter, down two and a half. May beans ended at 1374 and a half, down four and a half. December soybean meal yesterday ended at 427.90, down 17. January meal ended at 423.30, down 15. March meal 414.40, down 18. December soybean oil yesterday ended at 48.53, up 21. January oil 48.83, up 17. March oil ended at 49.27, up 15. December oats yesterday ended at 370, that was down 6.5. March oats ended at 382 and a quarter, down 5.5. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain report.
This is Wednesday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon, with corn and beans lower and wheat slightly higher. Technical buying at the Board of Trade pressured corn and soybean values ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. Northern Western Illinois grain dealers quoted corn bids 2 cents lower at 721 to 739. Soybeans were mostly 4 to 5 lower at 1373 to 1391. Central Illinois grain dealers quoted their corn bids mostly 2 to 6 lower at 729 to 750. Soybeans were down 5 at 1393 to 1403. Corn bids in southern Illinois were mostly 2 to 4 lower at 713 to 757. Soybeans 5 to 11 lower at 1395 to 1423. Wheat bids were steady to 4 higher at 829 to 840. Illinois soybean processors cash soybean bids were 4 to 5 cents higher at 1420 to 1428. The basis was unchanged at 12 to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 445.90 to 450.90. That's down $1.70. The Illinois Corn processors cash corn bids were 2 to 3 lower at 741 to 753, basis unchanged at option to 12 over the December. Dry distiller grain was offered at 253 to 260, unchanged to $3 higher. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted their corn bids 2 to 3 lower at 737 to 741. Basis was unchanged at minus 4 to option the December. Soybeans ended 4 to 6 lower at 1407 to 1441. Basis was down 1 to unchanged at 1 under to 6 over the January. New crop wheat prices were down 1 at 820 to 822. Basis unchanged at minus 31 to minus 30 the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators, East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 7 lower, at 746 to 756. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 5 cents with quotations at 1428 to 1433. Wheat closed steady at 834 to 835. Contract bids to producers for January delivery in northern and western Illinois on corn range from 724 to 761, and on soybeans, 1374 to 1390. Central Illinois corn contracts went at 734 to 755, with soybeans 1395 to 1405. In southern Illinois, contract bids to producers for January delivery on corn range from 728 to 770. The soybeans at 1397 to 1426, and June-July delivered soft red winter wheat from 805 to 822. This is Ken McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, December hogs ended at 81.75, up a dime. February hogs ended at 87.12, down 57. April hogs ended at 92.05, down 45. December cattle yesterday ended at 128.07, up 102. February cattle, 131.62, up 110. April cattle ended at 135.62, up $1.05. January feeder cattle yesterday ended at 147.37, up 132. March feeders, 149.97, up a buck and a half. And April feeders, 151.40, up 145. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with a closing livestock report. The Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report has barrels and gilts on a carcass basis, ending the session at 49 cents higher. Base price range of $70 to $75, a weighted average of $71.79. The Illinois Direct Barrel and Gilt traded steady today at $49 to $53. Receipts in Illinois are very light, 9,030 head. Illinois direct slaughter sows traded steady with light demand and very light offerings. The sows under 400 pounds, 50 to 54. 4 to 500 pounds, 50 to 56. Over 500 pounds, 55 to $60. Today's estimated sow receipts, 300 head. In the USDA National Carlot Pork Report, trading was moderate with light to moderate demand and offerings. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 43 cents higher at 81.70. The estimated daily hog slaughter under federal inspection on Wednesday was 431,000. A week ago, 434,000. A year ago, 430,000. Week-to-day total, 1,300,000. The estimated daily cattle slaughter under federal inspection on Wednesday, 128,000. A week ago, 121,000. A year ago, 131,000. Week-to-date total, 387,000. In the USDA estimated box beef cutout values, those values were firm on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Charged carcasses were 61 cents higher at 194.89, with select 53 higher at 174.37. We had 153 fab loads today and 30 trim loads. The choice to select spread was at $20.52. On Tuesday at the United Producers Auction in Shelbyville, they had receipts of 258 head. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to 50 higher. Holstein steers lightly tested, slaughter cows and bulls traded steady. Choice slaughter steers 122 to 127. Select and choice 114.25 to 121.25. Choice Holstein steers at 105, that's selection choice, 105 to 112. Choice slaughter heifers 122 to 127.25. Select and choice heifers, 120.25 to 121. At the Fairview sale barn, they had receipts of 351 head compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers sold steady. Slaughter calves $2 to $3 higher. Slaughter bulls not tested. Choice slaughter steers $121 to $127.50 with some high dressing to $128.25. Choice Holstein steers at $110 to $116. Choice slaughter heifers $121 to $127. Breaker slaughter cows $76 to $80. Boners at $67 to $72. Lean slaughter cows $55 to $60. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday. Butter, $1.69, down $1. For block cheese, $1.825 unchanged. For barrel cheese, $1.745 up $2. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Wednesday, $20.71. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for November, $7.40. For January, $7.34. Corn delivered to Scottville for November, $7.40. And for January, $7.34. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for November, $14.08. For January, $14.03. Wheat delivered to Scottville for November, $8.09. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, $7.40. Corn at Scottville, $7.40. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.08. And wheat at Scottville, $8.09. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thanksgiving Thursday morning. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Get more from every acre by using Micro Essentials fertilizer with patented Fusion technology. Only Micro Essentials combines vital nutrients in one uniquely formulated, nutritionally balanced granule, creating a single source for balanced crop nutrition. The unique chemistry of Micro Essentials ensures optimum nutrient distribution and that all-important nutrient uptake for increased yields across every acre.
M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Becoming cloudy later today. There's a chance of a shower this afternoon. High temperatures today in the mid-60s. We will have south winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy skies and cooler with a chance of showers once again. Low temperatures in the upper 30s. And for tomorrow, Friday, sunny and colder, the high in the mid-40s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy with a chance of a shower Sunday night and Monday. Low temperatures in the low 30s, high temperatures in the mid 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, south winds at 10 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 45 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Envirofoam of America. First of all, in our farm news today, earlier this week, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about the grain markets. A factor we discussed were low water levels on the Mississippi River.
Well, it really is, and we're seeing some tremendously strong basis at the Gulf as exporters worried about actually the Mississippi shutting down because of low water levels. And so they're trying to get as much grain through to the Gulf terminals before that possibility of that happening in early to mid-December. The Corps of Engineers wants to hold water back for some reservoirs on the Missouri River in the Dakotas, dropping the flow of the Missouri into the Mississippi. And that's a big part of the flow as you go down to Mississippi, and particularly worried some is that stretch between Cairo and St. Louis, and there's fears the Mississippi might have to close down. I'd say it's less than 50% right now, but it's a significant risk, and so that is really boosting those concerns, particularly for soybeans where exports are red hot.
And they're also talking about releasing some water from Minnesota. And as a matter of fact, I think they have, but that won't show up probably for another day or so.
Well, actually, it's much longer than that. You're absolutely right. They're looking at releasing more from Minnesota to try to supplement what they're losing from the Missouri on the Mississippi, but it'll take a full month for that water to get down there to the critical area. So it's going to be tense going for barge operators between now and then. Regardless if it stays open, we're still going to have very low drafts, meaning they can't carry as much volume through in each barge load that goes through.
And some of those barges, they probably, you know, where they're positioned on the river to load, they might not be able to get to the loadouts.
Yeah, and it's a real concern, and it's really affecting the cash market. And so that's the river terminals. Depending on where you are in the river, you may be seeing basis surge or basis collapse. And so producers really need to be shopping around seeing what the opportunities are for them based on their local markets.
Yeah, I bet a lot of that depends on how much storage some of these elevators have on hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And what type of markets you have available, whether you have an ethanol processor nearby or oilseed processor, you have to look at the market opportunities.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. At the recent commodity conference in Bloomington, Rita Frazier of the Farm Bureau Radio Network talked to an area pork producer, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. Derek Dunkirk from the listening area, of course, president of the Illinois Pork Producers Association. Derek and I are talking at the Illinois Commodity Conference in Bloomington this week. And Derek, I guess, you know, why is it important for pork producers to be at this meeting?
It's very important for producers to come up to the Commodity Conference. It's a chance for them to interact outside of our just Pork Producer Association and get in contact with some of our partners from Beef and Corn and Soy and Farm Bureau. So we have a lot of good educational seminars this morning, and we have a good keynote speaker and Coach Boone this afternoon talking about building those relationships and things like that. So it's important for folks to come up and mingle with our other associations in the state.
You are in the heart of your fall roundtable meetings around the state. You were mentioning that the District 9 meeting was just last week.
Yep, last Thursday night down at the Grand Magnuson, where we've had it in the past. We had a good turnout this year, probably a better turnout than we've had in the last 3 or 4 years. Around 16 or 17 folks there that evening, including myself and Jim Kaichek, our executive director. Good conversations that evening. Jim and I didn't have to lead the group too much. They kind of spurred their own conversation, which is what we wanted at roundtable meetings. That's a chance for our producers to come and let district directors and also board members, of course, and some of the state leadership that's there and staff members know how they've done last year and maybe what we ought to look at doing next year. So we had a good conversation about a lot of our consumer campaigns as far as promotions of product. All of our Chicago efforts, we continue to ask producers, are we doing, you know, is this what you want us to be doing? Because, as you know, we spend an awful lot of money up in that market. So we want to make sure that those dollars that they're giving us to utilize, we're utilizing them the way they want us to. Some talks about the Pollution Control Board hearings and MPDES permits, and basically just some information sharing on that topic, kind of how it's going. And, we're through the hearings now, so now we're waiting on some reviews and other things like that. So information sharing there. We had some concern about the way some of the markets are reported as far as daily slaughter and price and numbers, and to see if there's any loopholes there, concern from one producer. But other than that, a pretty positive tone to the roundtables so far. Not a lot of big issues that they've been hammering on. So we're happy with that, especially for the climate that we've been through since July. And we're looking forward then to our annual meeting in February.
And as the process works, you do take the feedback from producers in the form of resolutions and do take that to your annual meeting there in Peoria.
Sure, right. That's the that's the vehicle for it, is our district roundtables to come up with any resolutions or topics that need to be discussed in the general forum at our expo meeting in February. So
you will, at that meeting, pass the gavel. You have been president this past year. If we were to ask you what was your highlight so far as president of IPPA, what would that be?
I think so far, I wouldn't focus to one special event or one thing that really resounded with me. I would take the whole year and probably say that my best experience as president has been some of the relationships that I've built, and those relationships that will continue with me and my family and other producers' families long after I'm off the board. So that's been the biggest thing for me, is the relationships.
And that kind of ties into my final question, Derek, and celebrating Thanksgiving. As you do look at your life and your industry, what are you thankful for?
Thankful for family. I mean, you know, to be able to do what we do and live on the farm and produce a product, whether it's grain or meat, and market that product in the right way and support that family there. They live on the farm. I think that's really important and what we're really thankful for.
Derek Dunkirk, the president of the Illinois Pork Producers from Mid-Illinois. You're listening to WSMI. I'm Rita Frazier reporting.
Thank you, Rita. In the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, the cleanup continues on the East Coast, and according to National Pork Board President Conley Nelson, the pork checkoff has been part of the response.
We got a number of calls from different state organizations that wanted as an industry to do something, so we tried to mobilize. We have our trailer, we headed that out right out to the East Coast and started working with some different states on getting some producers lined up, and we were successful in working that out, and we actually ended up serving about 9,000 meals, I believe, with our trailer and producers from a number of the states in the Midwest. So it was a good program.
Pork producers believe in being socially responsible and giving back to the community. That includes this effort in the Northeast.
As part of our efforts from a sustainability standpoint, contributing to community efforts and causes and people in need definitely aligns right up with the U.S. pork industry. And, you know, this was a good example. We also worked with our packer friends, Smithfield Foods and Hatfields. They provided a lot of the meat for us with that effort.
For more information, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to www.pork.org. Two area congressmen have been honored by the Illinois Corn Growers Association. Retiring Congressman Jerry Costello received the World of Corn Award at the association's meeting in Bloomington earlier this week. The award is given to those who make a significant contribution to the corn industry. Congressman Costello was recognized for his work improving infrastructure in his district. Congressman John Shimkus was presented with the Ethanol Award by the Illinois Corn Growers Association for his work promoting the use of the biofuel. He is serving his eighth term in Congress. In some other farm news on this Thanksgiving Thursday morning, a $6.4 million project for Cargill to add a loop railroad track at its elevator in Tuscola is expected to expand the market for local corn and soybeans using the CSX Railroad. The rail loop, which will be able to accommodate 110 grain cars, will be around the perimeter of the 200-acre Cargill site. Todd Gleason of the University of Illinois has some turkey facts you might be interested in.
Happy Thanksgiving. Here's a list of turkey facts you might find of interest. Did you know that Ben Franklin, in a letter to his daughter, proposed the turkey as the official United States bird? In 2007, the average American ate 17¾ pounds of turkey. The heaviest turkey ever raised was 86 pounds. That's about the size of a large dog. A 15-pound turkey usually has about 70% white meat and 30% dark. The male turkey, of course, is called a tom. The female turkey is called a hen. The turkey was domesticated in Mexico and brought to Europe in the 16th century. Wild turkeys can fly for short distances up to 55 miles per hour. Wild turkeys can run 20 miles per hour. Turkeys' heads change colors when they get excited. And most of the turkeys raised for commercial production are White Hollands. It takes 75 to 80 pounds of feed to raise a 30-pound tom turkey. A domesticated male turkey can reach the weight of 30 pounds within 18 weeks of hatching. 45 million turkeys are eaten each Thanksgiving, 22 million turkeys at Christmas, and another 19 million turkeys are eaten for Easter. Male turkeys gobble, hens do not. They make a clicking noise. Turkeys have heart attacks. The U.S. Air Force was doing test runs and breaking the sound barrier. Nearby turkeys dropped dead of heart attacks. The five most popular ways to serve leftover turkey are as a sandwich, stew, chili, or soup, casseroles, or as a burger. Hey, have a great Thanksgiving. If you'd like to see more odd turkey facts, visit the University of Illinois Urban Extension website. at www.urbanext.uiuc.edu. I'm Todd Gleason.
Thank you, Todd. As family and friends gather and give thanks this Thanksgiving, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack describes how every year at this time he is reminded of how blessed the United States is to have a strong, vibrant rural America which provides so much for everyone every day.
Rural America provides so much for all of us, including extraordinary outdoor recreational opportunities, clean water, renewable fuel and energy, jobs for folks across the country, and a safe, secure, and abundant food supply. Our farmers, ranchers, and growers are the most productive on earth. Their work allows us to feed people at home and around the world. It means that American families pay less for their food than the people of any other developed nation. Their work strengthens our economy, with agriculture supporting 1 in 12 U.S. jobs. Their farm fields hold the promise of new technology, from incredible new green building materials to advanced bio-based products. Their homegrown energy is bringing down the price of gas today and setting the stage for the next generation of advanced biofuels. These accomplishments are the result of hard work by millions of Americans, and it isn't always easy. This year has been marked by a number of disasters stretching from our smallest towns to our biggest cities. America still faces an historic drought, and the recovery continues from Hurricane Sandy. At USDA, we'll continue doing all we can in support of those who have been affected by these disasters. I know that in the months and years to come, the hard work of folks in rural America will further strengthen our nation. Today, I'm thankful for their work, and I'm glad that USDA can support their efforts. Throughout the holiday season, my family and I will also remember those who struggle to put food on their plate. We'll give thanks that so many ordinary Americans stand up to fight hunger in their own communities. As always, we'll remember those who serve in our nation's armed forces, and that a high proportion of them come from rural America. Many are overseas today, away from their own families, so that all of us can remain safe and free. This week, I wish you and your loved ones a safe, happy Thanksgiving, and I invite you to join me in giving thanks for the great nation we call home.
And that was United States Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. Part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Thanksgiving morning brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by EnviroFoam of America.